Right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things football in Portugal. You're listening to myself, Albert, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Andrew Batista. Andrew, great to see you again. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, man. Happy to sort of be back after, a week off, even though it wasn't really planned. A lot happened last week in the league, so... it's had quite a few ramifications, but yeah, otherwise, pretty good, man.
Yeah, the league's really starting to take shape. I feel like, you know, with the amount of games had played now, you can start to see all the different storylines emerging. Unfortunately, Kev can't join us this week. Kevin is out in Munich watching his beloved Sporting play Bayern Munich. Wish them all the best of luck. Hope they come back with a good result and he doesn't end up drinking too many of those giant beers. You know, those ones that are like a foot tall. I mean, maybe stick, if you're listening, Kev, stick to one of those, maybe. Just a little word of advice. But no, I'm sure we'll have some stories to tell next week when he comes back on the pod. But as Andrew mentioned, we're here to talk about all the action from this weekend's Primeira Liga. And there were some big games. They don't come much bigger than the Lisbon Derby. Benfica played Sporting. And they played out a 1-1 draw in a game that it's fair to say was billed as one of the biggest and most exciting of the season. I'm not sure anyone can say it really turned into that. It was a bit of a disappointing game in the end. The lack of a winner, lack of more goals, probably the lack of quality, I think it's fair to say, in some respects, made it a bit of a damp squib. Sporting took the lead after being gifted a goal by Enzo Barinachea, but Benfica were able to rally themselves and get an equalising goal through Sudakov. Only 15 minutes later, the game remained 1-1 from that moment until the final whistle. It's a result that I don't think helps either team. It leaves Sporting 5 points behind Porto. It leaves Benfica even further behind that, and also having missed an opportunity to take points off one of their rivals if they're going to try and get their season back on track. The first two goals for me made it kind of start a bit promising, but yeah, it quickly descended into something very cagey, quite ill-tempered. And yeah, it really didn't make for the kind of Clasico that I think we were hoping for.
And it was really disappointing because before the game, the atmosphere in the stadium, the fans, you could tell they were really up for it. It looked amazing. And you could tell, well, I think everyone in the stadium thought this is going to be, you know, a big game. This is a heck of a clash. And all the good attacking football in my eyes kind of happened in the first half. I think once you get to the second half, it kind of died down. In that first half, obviously, the Enzo mistake. It happens. I thought Enzo had a good game besides that one mistake. Yeah. That's what will sort of define the game for him. But I thought he had a very good game otherwise. I mean, I'll start with Benfica. I feel as if it kind of worked out the way Jose wants. He'll spin this to act like this is a good result. You know, they're playing at home, but they took points off Sporting. They've taken points off Porto this season. So he'll spin that as an advantage. As you know, progress, I guess, but also it was a game that turned into a real Jose Mourinho type of game. The scrappiness, the inability to sort of play any good football, especially in that second half. You know, they neutralized a lot of Sporting's great attacking players. There were some really poor performances, I think, particularly from Trincão, and I think Pot could have done better in this game as well. He had a couple chances, I mean, I think it shows where Sporting are in the sense that we know how good they are, but when the individuals don't show up, they don't perform, and the team just struggle overall. I think Rui Borges was a bit lazy in the sense that he should have made some changes earlier. So he makes the first two changes, the 60th minute. He brings on Kenda and I want to say João Simões for Morita and Pot. That's a good positive change. And then he waits to the 85th minute to make more changes. So he gives 5 minutes for Alisson Santos and Ioannidis to do something. I just think that was lazy from him. He should have tried to do something earlier because he could see what was happening. It's not like Sporting were just missing. They weren't even creating chances. It was really poor in that sense. From a Benfica perspective, you know, they were just they were physical. They were difficult to play against. They didn't create anything really... positive. And I think what encapsulated the game and sort of Jose Mourinho's Benfica was that 88th minute sort of run from Jenny, and then Prestiani gets sent off. Obviously, that terrible tackle, really, really bad tackle. You could have hurt Jenny pretty seriously there. And while he's walking off after his red card, it's very rare to see a manager go and console his player. And yet Mourinho went up to him and he consoled him, because that's what Mourinho's asked of these guys. When he got you, he kept saying they have to be more physical. They shouldn't be such nice guys. They need to be kind of tough to play against. And that's what they're becoming. Is it a good spectacle for fans or for, football lovers? No. But he got 2 points for Sporting, the champions, and that's what he'll stick with.
Yeah, it's do you know what? It is really fascinating dynamic this game because, of course, you're right to point out, especially from Jose Mourinho's perspective, how his impact on the game and how the game became quite reductive, especially from Benfica's perspective about how to limit the opposition without they didn't Benfica didn't particularly offer much themselves throughout the game and with the kind of the more negative aspects of the game with the red card and stuff. Although for me, still there was something different. There was still something lacking compared to previous Clásicos that we've had in the past. Normally, we're used to these games kind of descending into the chaos, the high intensity, and the kind of aggression. Perhaps I'm trying to choose the right words, which are things that we've also criticized in the past, but they are also kind of what makes these games what they are. I did feel like it was still kind of different. I still feel like Benfica were playing quite timidly in many ways. And I think the game lacked the fire that I think we normally have with these Clásicos. I still think it was a Benfica team. I saw fear in the Benfica team, not necessarily fear, but nerves in the Benfica team. And I would argue nerves in Mourinho as well. I think he sets his team up in that way because I think he doesn't feel in himself convinced that his team can go out and win the game. And so it does become more of a kind of nervous, reductive game plan. Even thinking back to some of the like Roger Schmidt versus Amorim derbies or any game that Sergio Conceição was involved in from Porto's perspective, those games could have had the kind of the red cards, they could have had the fouls, they could have had that side of things, the aggression. But I think there was a kind of a fire in those games and a fire inside those teams. And I include Sporting in this as well, that I think was really lacking in this game. I'm not sure whether you felt the same thing or whether you think there's a reason behind why that might be. Why are these kind of two teams more Benfica than Sporting, but also Sporting to an extent in this moment where they don't almost have the confidence to even go out and play the Clásico in that way that we've even criticized before, but it was better than this, where there is at least more of the fire, more of the passion than we saw in this game. Because yeah, I felt that's what was really lacking. I didn't feel like any team, well, I felt like Benfica definitely didn't have the belief that they were going to win, and I think Sporting didn't have the ideas to get the win themselves. And both those things, I think, are something that we're not used to seeing from games between these two teams from over the last 3, 4, 5 years.
I think you said it well there, in that Benfica didn't have the confidence and Sporting didn't have the ideas. That's certainly what it looked like. As far as the missing sort of fire from the derby and, subsequent derbies this season anyway, I think that's just maybe a changing in the way football is in the Portuguese league. Now, whether or not it's good for it or not, that's up for debate. You shouldn't, every single derby there shouldn't be two red cards and coaches getting involved too much and the referee being the center of attention. That also doesn't make for great football. It's
No.
fun as a neutral, but as a fan you're just angry and all that kind of stuff. So I think you have to have a sort of balance between those things. I think Porto this season, it's quite clear that Farioli's tried to take Porto away from that kind of the chaos and the physicality and that sort of thing. Although, they're physical in a different way and they cause chaos in a different way, but it's more controlled, it's more tactical. I think Sporting with Rui Borges is it's hard to describe Rui Borges, because you sometimes you'll see that fire in him where he gets upset about something, but he does seem quite composed most of the time. I've never seen him lose it. Like,
No.
really lose it, like kicking bottles or anything like that. And I think that's what he tries to instill into his team, because he's got a very talented team. On paper, one of the best squads in the country. Now, let's get to Benfica. I think all the fire sits with Mourinho, and that's how he's always been his whole career. He's not as confident as he used to be. He's getting older. He's learned, blah, 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 all that sort of Mourinho stuff. But the team itself are a team that have taken quite a few lumps the last few seasons. Not a great squad. The squad's built kind of weirdly. We've discussed it. There's a lot of players that have come in this season that are still getting to grips with the league. Players that maybe had some high expectations, but it didn't really work. It hasn't worked out so far. I'm looking at someone like Richard Rios, who, when he came here, there was a lot of like, wow, here's the next guy. And he's just been there. He hasn't really lit the league on fire. So I think it definitely lacked that fire, but I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. If they could just focus more on the football side of it, because I think they're both good enough in Mourinho and Rui Bosch to put on a better display than that. One team decided early on that we're going to play for a draw. As soon as they got the equalizer, that scruffy Sudakov goal, they decided, you know what, we're not going to lose a point here. We're staying. We're going to try and hold on to this. Sporting, on the other hand, they should have been able to get past Benfica and win this game. They weren't able to. I will blame Rui Borges in this case. I think he could have done more early on. There were still some good performances. I thought Gonçalo Inácio was very good in this game. A player that sometimes gets quite a bit of criticism, but he was pretty good. I thought Maxi Araujo was tidy on the ball, played well. Gianni was good. Luis Suarez, I think there's one or two chances that he should have put away. There's that one chance where he sort of cuts in and then he scuffs the shot. So overall, Sporting will be the more disappointed because they're chasing down Porto. Now there's a 5-point gap. Benfica, they'll probably settle now for being third. I don't think they're going to try and chase for the second place. There's a 6-point gap between them and Gil Vicente right now, but if Gil Vicente obviously weren't tonight, that'll be cut down. But not a great derby, one that'll be forgotten very quickly. And it's it that's the other thing. It's becoming a trend of forgotten derbies, because even the Porto Benfica one not that long ago, that's kind of it was a dud as well. And I think that's just where the league is at the moment. The teams are kind of going through this period, and we'll see. Hopefully, we get some better ones in the second part of the season.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good, I think that's a really good summation. Before we move on, I think just to come back briefly on Sporting, we obviously focus a bit more on Benfica there, because I agree with your assessment from Sporting's perspective that I think Rui Borges is more at fault for not getting the win in this game. And I think Sporting were the one team that probably would have hoped to get the win. I mean, if you want to elaborate a bit more on what you put that down to, because for me, I didn't mind. I mean, he put out a full strength squad, a team full of talented players. First half, it was what it was. They got the early goal. It wasn't too bad. But I think the second half for me was where he makes the changes on the hour. Changes again, like you said, that I don't mind those changes. But I think if we're being realistic, neither of those players had a positive impact on the game. I don't think Sporting improved when they came on. And then it was quite late before the further changes came. I don't know what you think maybe he could have done differently, or what they needed to get something different from the game.
Yeah, I think you should have tried to change something tactically earlier in the game. Once he brings Jean Simon on, and who was again and Quenda, they go onto the pitch and occupy the same spaces, and they kind of are doing the same things. Although Quenda is a bit more explosive than Pot, we know this. But then he brings on Alisson Santos, moves Quenda to the middle, a bit more central. But it's 5 minutes to go. Why try and make that change now with 5 minutes to go? Why not do that earlier? Why not say, okay, you know what, this is clearly not working. Let's move Kendra centrally. Alisson Santos on the left. And Alisson Santos, mind you, is a player. Every time I see him on the field when he comes on as a sub, he always somehow makes at least one chance for himself, which is so bizarre. He's just that kind of player. And I thought that should have happened earlier. I think it was difficult because of how organized Benfica were, how physical they were playing as well. I think if you, it's quite, this is going to sound bad, but it's kind of easy to out physical the Sporting team in a way. It's not like they're not the strongest guys, they're not the most aggressive team physically, which is strange because when I think about Rui Borges at Vitória, they were quite physical. They were a team that they used their physicality very well. Even Moreirense, in a way, although they played, I think, better football, but they were quite physical as well. the Sporting team, they're not that physical, and I think when they come up against a very physical team in Benfica in this game, that definitely made a difference. There's also an over reliance on Francisco Trincão and Pote to sort of make something happen, and they both struggled in this game. I know Pote got his goal, but they struggled overall to be the difference makers. Luis Suarez, I do like him, but he did struggle in this game. So I think that was kind of the issue, is the individuals didn't show up, and then when that's not happening, Rui Borges has to make a change earlier, and I just think he wasn't reactive enough, and that's where the difference was, really, because I think most of the time, 8 times out of 10, this game goes differently. We get it's a different result. I think they Pot on a different day scores another goal. Trincão takes the game over like he sometimes does. It just didn't happen in this game.
Yeah, no, very fair points. And the player that I think of a lot is Ioannidis. I just think, when have we seen him have a real opportunity that he's taken since arriving? It hasn't quite happened. But yeah, like you say, that kind of indecisiveness, perhaps, or from Rui Borges, is something that I think we've seen consistently since he was at Sporting. But yeah, we'll see how they bounce back from this result. Like we said, a very forgettable Clásico, a result that doesn't help either team. And of course, the biggest winners from that result, Andrew's smiling already, were Porto, who took advantage by beating Tondela 2-0 away from home, extending their lead at the top of the table in the process. I think you guys did have to toil through that first half a little bit. Neither side kind of got the breakthrough, but it was a rapid start to the second half. 2 goals in 5 minutes, including a bit of a howler, has to be said, from the goalkeeper for the second. I'm sure we'll be having nightmares about that, but it was what it was. And as we said so many times, Andrew, this season for Porto, most important thing, getting the 3 points, getting the win, as they consistently do, no mistakes. And it meant it was a great weekend for Porto in the end.
It was. It's on the back of about 3 game weeks where every performance Porto looked worse. They looked tired. They looked a bit lethargic. They looked out of ideas, and they continued to get the wins, which is the important thing. But there was some criticism starting in the Portuguese fan base, or sorry, in the Porto fan base rather, about Farioli and how he finds solutions to these problems, because he seems to also struggle to come up with ideas when his one thing's not working, which is the sort of intensity and the pressing. But in this game, I thought we played well. Tondela is a difficult team to play against. They're not, they're not pushovers, although then, they're a team that's in the relegation zone. But they are quite difficult to play against. They have a solid midfield, which did prove a bit of a difficulty to get past in the first half. But overall, I think it's a deserved win for Porto. I thought Samu was good. He was trying his best. He was proving quite difficult for the defenders to deal with. Obviously, he got his goal. William Gomes, what I like about William Gomes this season and his development is he's starting to find some consistency, not from game to game, because that is still a problem where some games he's not so great, some games he is, but within the game he's doing the same things, and that's what makes a good player, is doing the same things consistently well every time, pressing the same, trying to make the right passes more consistently. So he's getting a lot better at that. And then of course the goal was, very poor from Brennan Funch, who we've praised a lot this season. Brennan
Yeah,
Funch
uncharacteristic, I think.
has been great. So it's one of those things where it's like, he should have done better, but he's saved. He's been so good, and I hope, if Tondela go down, I hope we don't lose Bernard Fonch in this league, because he's such a great goalkeeper. But also the centre backs were really good. I thought, Benrek, another good game. Defender of the month as well,
Absolutely.
which is great. I think the big difference is when you see that Froholt, Varela, there's such a difference in that midfield when Varela's not there. And we saw that last week. We haven't spoken about the Estoril game, but when Varela wasn't there, you could see the huge difference in that midfield. It just doesn't function the same. And in this week, you could see him back in that position, moving the ball through the lines the way he does so well. A very important win in a period where we've been struggling, and we had to capitalize on this, on Sporting dropping points. Even though I wouldn't say we're at the peak of our powers, we've played better this season. But this is what happens sometimes. There's teams that win the league and they'll go through these kind of runs. It happened always. It happens in the Portuguese league, the Premier League. We can, I'm sure, come up with a few examples. But overall, good performance. Tondela, what can you say about Tondela? Cristiano Bacci's just got days, what, 3 games in maybe? So we don't know if they're good yet or not with him, but we know that they have a good squad of players, and I still think they play pretty good football, considering the change, but I still think they are pretty good, and I think they'll find a way out of this tricky situation that they're in.
Yeah, I think there's a reason to be, it might sound like a strange thing to say about a team so low in the table, but I think there is still some reason to have optimism around Tondela purely because of the squad and the players. It feels like a more cohesive squad than some of their relegation rivals, and there is good quality in there. Obviously, very tough day when their most reliable player is making mistakes like that. It's going to be tough. I know they did have the ball in the back of the net in the first half. I did see some people suggesting it wasn't a foul or it shouldn't have been chalked off. I mean, I'm going to dismiss that off the bat. I think that was as clear a foul as you'll see any day of the week. So, perhaps things not going their way, but it was always going to be tough against Porto. I want to come back on Porto just on one thing that I was kind of thinking after this week. I mean, we spoke about the managers of Benfica and Sporting, but when you compare Benfica and Sporting and Porto at the moment, it does feel like Porto, not only the more confident team, but probably have the more confident manager. And that, when you include Jose Mourinho in that conversation, sounds like a strange thing to say. But Farioli, also a young manager, no experience in this league. But to be honest, the way it is right now, I look at him as the manager of the three who feels like he perhaps has the most belief in his team, or like the most belief in his methods.
What breeds confidence is winning. At the
True.
moment, Porto continue to win. I think that can change when, once there's a draw or a loss or something like that, and hopefully, hopefully not. But I think that's helping him a lot. There were some games. I think last week was a good example of a game where he was out of ideas and he didn't really know what to do. And this is the concern for a young coach like Farioli, who has a very specific way that he sets the team up and what he wants them to do. It's quite difficult to find a solution. You almost have to rely on your individuals and players that maybe have a bit of magic. That's why I liked Rüdiger Moura on the bench more than I like him starting, because he's a magic player. William Gomes is a magic player. He's a guy that can come on and whatever was happening before, whether Pepe was in that position or whoever, the defender's got a whole different thing to deal with when William Gomes is on the field. Same with Rüdiger Moura. I mean, as far as Farioli goes, so far so good. He's been doing all right, but the confidence is coming from the winning. I think once, if we go on a sort of run and lose a game or two, I think we'll see what he's really made of. That'll be the test, because Porto, like Benfica, as one of the really big teams in the country, the fan bases are very impatient. The media is ruthless on the managers, on the players, and it can be very difficult to get out of that. And then if you add something like him saying the wrong thing or turning on the fans, or like a Roger Schmidt thing, then it's going to be a long day for him. But for now, I think he's just going to keep looking at the next game, puts out his best team, sees what they can do, and take it from there. And dealing with injuries as well. There's a couple problems where there's an injury where he has to deal with, like Ferreira last week was obviously because he got injured in the Nice game, and then obviously Luke de Jong's now injured. He's out for the rest of the season. No more Luke de Jong this season. So these are things he has to deal with.
Yeah, well, he's certainly passed pretty much every test so far. And, well, if he continues to do that, it could be a very successful season for Porto indeed. Another team turning a corner, I think it's fair to say, Andrew, Braga, really invaluable 3 points for them this weekend. They beat Famalicão 2-1 away from home. And I think it was a result that they really, really had to work hard for. For me, I mean, I know we're going to come on some mad scorelines, but I thought this was the game of the weekend, personally. I thought both teams played really well, made really good chances. Famalicão could have gone ahead early on. Braga did get that first goal through a deflected Ricardo Horta shot. Famalicão equalised later in the first half through Zubiri. And I think it could have gone either way from that point, honestly. Braga did get that winning goal in the 72nd minute, but both teams created further chances. Famalicão could have easily tied the game with a crazy bicycle kick chance late into the match. Very entertaining. Braga, very good value for their win for me. Famalicão probably will feel quite disappointed at the end of the day that they didn't get anything out of it, which I think is a fair point.
Definitely a huge result for Braga. Famalicão started the game pretty well. I thought they started better than Braga. They're the home team. You would expect that. But once Braga sort of started building up into the game and then the goal goes in, it's a little bit fortunate, but you take what you can get. Overall, when I was watching this game, I thought the thing that struck me the most is these two teams need strikers that can score more consistently. I think
Absolutely.
that's the big issue for both teams. Whether it's Paulo Vitor, Fran Navarro, whether it's Sabiri, whether it's Elisior, all these strikers, they're okay, but they're wasteful. There was quite a few chances. Sabiri had a couple chances I think he should have put away. Paulo Vitor had two big chances, and I think this is going to be a Paulo Vitor kind of thing. He's always going to be this way. I think he just has that gene as a striker that, he needs like six chances to score a goal. So there's both these teams could do with a good striker, and there's a really good striker, Drioav, that desperately needs out if anyone's listening from either of them. But I think overall, Braga probably deserved it. They seemed more in control. They dominated possession more. Famalicão, who play more direct anyway, they're not really a team that take possession and recycle it and play very pretty football in that way. That's not how they play. They're a lot more direct. They use their pace, their transitions. They use the great delivery of like Gil Dias or Rodrigo Pinheiro, Gustavo. They use their players very well. And that kind of suited Braga because Braga love having the ball. They love, passing the ball around. They're a lot more confident than they were. You could see that in this game, especially. Some of the sort of the patterns of play were really intricate and quite, you could tell they've been working a lot on this in the training ground. That bicycle kick towards the end, I really, that was so Hornicek, because Hornicek is so good at being in the right place. Like,
I know.
I don't know how it's possible. There's so many saves where I'm like, how is he standing there?
Absolutely.
How is that possible? But that would have been, a real eyebrow raiser that if it went in. Overall, very good game. I agree, probably the best game of the weekend in terms of quality, in terms of well-matched teams, in terms of two teams that really wanted it. I don't think either team was satisfied at any point. They kept going for it all the way to the end. And as for Carlos Vinicius, who I've been very harsh on,
Me too.
he's found a way. Yeah, he's found a way to get this Braga team playing the way he wants. They are playing good football. He's also now got a proper starting 11 that he's starting every game. I think that's so important. The experimentation is kind of over. There's probably a few upgrades that this Braga team need, but for now they're doing well. They've bounced back from their very difficult start of the season because that, I think in a different time, Carlos Vinicius isn't even the manager anymore, because
Absolutely.
we've seen so many managers sacked for way less at Braga.
Yeah, I think he was one game away from being
Yeah,
sacked, realistically. But
agreed.
4 wins out of their last 5 league games is great form. It's what we said a few weeks ago. They needed to bring the good form they'd had in Europe and in the cup competitions into the league. They've done that. And yeah, I think it's an interesting point you make about strikers for both teams. Kind of, it does feel like although Braga signed something like three strikers or
Yeah.
four strikers in the last 3 windows or something, it's they're still struggling to find a key striker. I was interested to look into Zubiri because I think he's only started 3 games for Famalicão this season. He obviously didn't start as the first choice striker. He has scored in their last 2 games, 2 goals in his last 2 games. So decent little patch of form for him. Interesting profile of player, young, good physicality. But yeah, he wasted quite a few chances in this game, which I think Famalicão will be disappointed by. One player, Andrew, that I want to bring up who doesn't miss chances and delivers every time, Ricardo Horta, once again
Man,
showing why
yeah.
he's one of the best players in the league. Influential throughout the game, creative. Obviously, the goal, bit of fortune, but still, he has to create that. The set piece delivery throughout the game caused so many chances. I think that's where the second goal came from as well, a ball in from him.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that Braga's kind of return to form has also kind of coincided with his return to the team and his return to form as well.
Yeah, he's just so important to this team. He's certainly one of the best players in the league. He's their best player. He's probably Braga's greatest player ever, in my opinion. The way he's such a leader on the pitch. You can see the confidence that the team have around him when he's there. They know that he's a guy that will take a game by the scruff of the neck if he has to, which is great. He doesn't need too many chances. You don't need to, you make a mistake against Ricardo Horta, he will punish you. And this is why he's been so efficient. He's been so good for Braga. A great player. I still wish we could have seen him maybe at one of the big three or somewhere else. He's going to go down as a Braga legend and a league legend, of course. But I'm always going to have that kind of idea of Ricardo Horta doing something else, in Spain or in Portugal. I think so important to Carlos Vinicius right now is keeping Horta fit because, as durable as he is, he's getting on in years and he can be kind of injury prone, especially muscle injuries, something that he's always struggled with throughout his career. And it's very important that he stays fit because I don't think there's a direct substitute for him in that squad. I don't think there's anyone that can do what he does. Not even close. Maybe Salazar, but Salazar is a bit wilder and he's not so positionally like disciplined. He's not as good at making something out of nothing. And the leadership, you just lose that leadership without Horta.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like we said, a great return to form for Braga. They're up to, well, they're fifth in the table, which doesn't sound great on paper, but they're only 2 points off fourth. And, I know they're always striving to be higher than fourth, but I think considering the start to the season they had, it's not a bad place to be in with over 20 games of the season to go. So still plenty of time. As I alluded to, a couple of more chaotic and mad games to come onto that we wanted to include. One of the craziest score lines, well, the craziest score line of the weekend, and one of the most crazy of the season so far. Surprise, surprise, it involved Estoril, who just seemed to be involved in goal fests week after week. They played out a 3-3 draw with Morens. I mean, 3-3 is not a score line I associate with Morens in any any end of the spectrum. A game with huge momentum swings. Morens started the game in great form, scored in the second minute. Almost got a second goal just a few minutes later, but Estoril were able to come back, equalised in the first half, and then, yeah, the second half was where things really opened up. Two quick fire goals for Estoril at the beginning of the second half made it 3-1. They were cruising, they were playing great football, but again, I think not for the first time this season they let their opposition back into the game. There was a second goal for Marins not long after. Estoril's third, and then a 93rd minute equaliser from Luis Semedo made it 3-3. A mad game. Both teams had their moments on top. Both teams showed us how good they can be, but equally, I think both teams showed us that they have some weaknesses as well. And I think, I don't know, I guess Morens will be pleased with a late equaliser, but I think on paper, this is probably not a result that either team should be too happy with.
I don't know. I think Estoril will be pretty happy with this game, considering how they defended. I thought
True.
they're defending, and this is why they're always involved in goal fests because they can always score goals. They have a great attacking pair, and excuse me, and the way Ian Cathro has them set up, there's so much movement. They have so much freedom, and it's very difficult to defend against. So I don't really blame Orleans because you could tell that they were really struggling to figure out how to stop, the front two. The movement was crazy, and the equalizer, obviously the Trivas goal is very good, but the equalizer, which is the Patrick de Paula, the first goal, very much against the run of play, although there was a few half chances just before it, but very much against the run of play. But there's this great crossfield pass from, I forgot the Spanish midfielder, and then Ricard Sanchez with a touch back to Patrick de Paula and a great finish. If you guys haven't seen it, really just go watch that goal. It's fantastic. And then from there, you could see Morenes after the equaliser set, they took control of the game again because they knew they were better. They have a much more solid midfield. They have Schettino, who he had a couple chances, and I think he should have taken one. He's really the guy that needs to put goals away from what it is, because I don't think a lot of goals come from anyone else except the forwards in this team. That's just the way that they play. The midfield in this game was a bit bizarre. Starting Vasco Sorsa against Estoril seemed a bit weird to me. I thought you would go someone maybe a bit more attacking, like Benny. And then you have Alan Zinho and Benny, who are more attack-minded. Vasco Sorsa, he's just not that kind of player. He's more of a box-to-box, control the game kind of guy. So that was a bit strange. But as for Estoril, I mean, every time they attacked, it looked really good. It was really great technical football, a lot of great movement, moving defenders all over the place. And then when you ask them to defend, it's some of the worst defending in this league. It truly is. It was some of the things that they did. I mean, Morenes could have easily won. This could have been like 5-3 or something like that. There
Yeah,
were some
definitely.
chances that they should have taken with some of the defending was really, really poor. And I think no defending was worse than, your one goal up. It's the 93rd minute, right? And why are you still playing that high line? Why are you still doing that? And then Luis Semedo, who I don't think has scored a goal for Morenes, I might
No.
be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he hasn't.
Yeah.
He just waltzes past everyone, puts the ball away, and I think that just shows you the naivety of Estoril and Ian Cathra. And I know Ian Cathra is going to say, "Look, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm the attacking football guy. I do different stuff, and my team has a lot of freedom." But you were 3-2 up against one of the best teams in the league this season in Morenes. Just tell them, "Hey, let's sit back a little bit. Just
Absolutely.
use." And it was baffling to me. When I saw that, I was like, well, you know what? That's what you get. That's what you get. If you're not going to defend, you're going to concede goals. As for Morenes, they should have done better with some of the defending. I know it's very difficult with the way that the forwards move, but I would expect better from Vasco Pitolet-Costa, because he's a very smart manager and he could have done something to counteract that. But a very entertaining game, a great advert for this league. The kind of games we want to see. We want to see a lot of goals. We want to see a lot of impressive goals, because there were some good goals in this game. And Morenes definitely would be more upset with this result, because they would have seen this result, oh, sorry, this fixture, and think, you know what, that's another 3 points for us. We want to carry on performing at the level we have been, and they dropped the ball. As for Estoril, I think a point's pretty good, considering how badly they defended.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very fair point. And the thing that I kind of took from this game was I almost felt like Morarens were almost sucked down to Estoril's level at times because they were guilty of some defensive weaknesses themselves, uncharacteristically so. And I especially at the beginning of the second half. Although that said, I think some of the football that you pointed out from Estoril, I mean, the goal that Bergrari scores, the build up to that goal, just yeah,
Great.
beautiful football.
Yeah.
There's not many teams in
Yeah.
the league playing football like that.
No.
And you're absolutely right. Ian Cathro will point to his style of football and say, well, look, these are the results. We play great football. We score great goals. I think it's very worth remembering that Estoril have only won 3 games this season. You know, this is
Yeah.
not a team that is kind of overperforming. And you compare them to Morens. And, you know, I said at the beginning, I don't associate Morens with 3-3 scorelines. I think that's because Morens, you know, they've done really well this season and they've won a lot of games. But I don't think they've blown a lot of teams away in a kind of real gung-ho way. You know, they're quite a secure team. They're quite a solid team. That's always been what they're about. And I think if Ian Cathro was to look at Morens and think, well, look, you know, I might think my team plays better football than them, but one of these teams is sitting a lot higher up in the table as it stands. And I think I know what ultimately, at the end of the day, what the fans want, what the players want, what the owners want. You know, they want success. And I think if your team's not struggling for success, then I think there's some issues. Maybe that's a little bit harsh, but yeah, I think this game was really a kind of a case of two teams with great potential, great quality, great characteristics in their own way, showing us what they can do, but equally showing us perhaps where the weaknesses lie. And yeah, just that first 5-10 minutes of defending for Estoril was
Man,
it
it
gave
was
me
Sunday
nightmares.
League. Yeah, it was Sunday League stuff. It was like miss kicking and just the gaps between the defenders was baffling. Truly.
And when you see in the 93rd minute that I don't know which midfield it was falling over, and then just the
Yeah.
striker straight through to the back four, and I just think, oh my God, you're so right. I have played in football matches where that happens. I know the feeling, but these guys
Yeah.
should aspire to better. But nonetheless, very very entertaining game. And speaking of mad games, the last game we're going to touch on, Estrella versus Arouca, gave us some incredible drama. Great for the neutral, perhaps, but certainly not for the Arouca fans. Red cards kind of marred this game from their perspective, as they fell to that 3-1 defeat to their fellow relegation strugglers. Alex Pinto was shown a red card for his foul around a half hour mark. Estrella immediately capitalized with a goal a minute later, and then they got a second 5 minutes after that. Arouca, they did try to get back into the game. Is it Taiki Fukui scored. He was incredible. He scores one of the goals of the season. Genuinely,
Yeah.
you'll struggle to see a better goal this season. And then very soon afterwards gets himself sent off with a worse tackle than Alex Pinto's, arguably. So Arouca down to nine men. Estrella kind of cruised through the rest of the game, and they did get the third goal in the 88th minute. As we speak, Vasco Sciabra is still in the job, but you sense that might not be for much longer after this. It's tough because on the one hand, you could say things went against them with the red cards, but ultimately I think you have to say they were not unlucky red cards. They were fully deserved red cards. And I think even with the way the game panned out, I think when they were down to 10 men, I personally thought they looked defeated. You know, the players, it doesn't look like a team. Naturally, it doesn't look like a team playing with much confidence. But I think, you know, when things aren't going your way, you want the team to kind of galvanize and put up a fight. But that, for me, was a little bit lacking.
But I think that comes from Vasco Seabra, who maybe is losing the fire a bit at this point. I think he probably knows the writing's on the wall. It's very difficult to turn something like this around as a manager when your players start to play the way that they've been playing recently, conceding the amount of goals that they're conceding. And it's okay if you concede a bunch of goals, but you've got to score a bunch as well. And that's what we associate with Vasco Seabra, is attacking football and brave football. And organized football as well, and that didn't happen at all in this game. They were pretty bad. Estrela were good, and Estrela have been good a few times this season. They've got some interesting players. Sidney Cabral, another good game. We saw Jovan start again. Jovan Cabral, who'd been on the bench for a bit, he had some injury problems. Kikaj, another goal. Kikaj has been good this season for Estrela. He scored
Very
quite a
good.
few goals, and he's just a nuisance. You know, he plays. He's not very tall. He's not very fast. It doesn't really make sense that he's scoring goals. He's kind of like a strange striker, but he's always in the right place. He seems to give defenders a very hard time. He knows what his team are doing as well in attack. And Rodrigo Pinho, you know, the big man, comes off the bench. 34-year-old Rodrigo Pinho. I hadn't seen him in a while. Comes on, scores the third goal. Very good result for Estrela, who are on a pretty good run, of, you know, maybe not like consistent run, but they've got quite a few wins this season, and they've been scoring goals. As for Roca, yeah, sorry, Vasco Seabra, I think, you know, we love you, dude, and you'll be back for sure. But I think it's time, and I'm sure they're having those conversations right now, in Arouca. The squad on paper is not bad. They've got some good players. We've seen them play well this season as well. It just seems like they can't defend. They lose sight of what they're trying to do. They don't create a lot of chances anymore. Although early in the season they did, that's died away. The Fukui goal, I agree, is fantastic. Great goal. His tackle for the red card is as bad as the goal is good. They're like
Yeah,
on the
it's a
same
good way of
level.
putting
The
it.
tackle was really bad
So
tackle,
bad.
and
But
I
did you
mean,
notice the ref didn't even did the ref not even give it at the time? I couldn't believe he didn't even
no,
blow for a foul, that waved play on. I
I
couldn't
think from
believe
the angle, it's probably hard to really see how bad it is. And it's a shame, because obviously after that goal, you know, you think, oh, you know, maybe they'll do something, and then you get a red card, and then that's it. Overall, a good result for Estrela, another good game. On a weekend of very good games, Estrela go away the happier. As for Arouca, I mean, they are also in sort of the relegation zone. They're not in the relegation zone, but it can happen very quickly. You know, if you look at, let's look at the table here, you know, they're 17th, so they're 9 points, but there's two other teams with 9 points. So you can kind of get out of it, or it could get worse if Tondela get a result and Casapia get a result. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Casapia is going to get a result anytime soon based on how they've been playing the last couple of weeks. But I think it's quite difficult for Vasco Seabra at this point. And, you know, I think we're probably now at this point where we can start speculating. If he goes, who comes in? Who can come in? Who can fix this? Do you know what I mean? It's so difficult to even think of how they're going to get out of this, because the last thing you want is to see a team like Arouca go down, a team that historically have done well in this league. You know, they've always produced some interesting players, some good football, some good results against big teams, and it's a shame to see them in this state. And
I
also,
mean, it's
my pick this season for surprise of the season was Arouca on the on our Portugal.net.
true.
Yeah, and I was so wrong.
Well, it depends what you mean by surprise, you know. It didn't have to be a
That's
good
true.
surprise.
That's true.
Surprise is just how bad they've been. No, but anyway,
Yeah.
I think it is a tough one for Arouca as well, because they've had great success doing
Yeah.
what the kind of the same thing that they're doing now, not too dissimilar, you know, putting faith in an ambitious manager, making interesting signings and looking for players where other teams don't look, and it has worked for them. And when it worked, we were all like really ready to give them loads of praise and say, you know, it's great what they're doing things differently, and you know, trying to compete in this league by doing things in a different way. So it feels a little bit, I don't want to turn around now when it's not working and say, oh, they're making mistakes, because you know, I don't think they've actually changed what they're doing, but it's such a big difference when you look at Arouca when it's going well, and when you look at them when it's going wrong. Because when it's going wrong, it looks bad, because you just got this
Yeah.
team of really disparate players. It seems to really, really lack cohesion. And when you don't have the leadership from the manager, it does seem to be going south very quickly. And I wonder what their kind of strategy will be, because, as you say, the advantage is that they're not cut adrift by any means. You know, it would only take a short run of good form to kind of make their league position look a lot healthier. They do still have a transfer window to play with, and they do still have, like I said, over 20 games to play. So there's still changes that could be made. There's still developments that could happen that would make their season look a lot better. But it does look really, really bad at the moment, the
But
way things are going.
I guess the question is, do you trust Vasco Seabra? Do you say, okay, let's see what he can do. Let's keep him on until at least the end of Jan. Let's try and bring one or two players in. I don't know who, but someone to try and, you know, solidify things. But keep Vasco Seabra on. Maybe he'll turn it around, because yeah, it's maybe not as bad as it could be, but it is still pretty bad. And I think it just depends on what their goal is this season. If they say, you know what, let's keep him on, let's see, and maybe it's just a case of, you know, a bad run of form, and eventually it's all going to sort of click into place, and everyone's going to be doing what they need to do, and suddenly we'll have some good football, because we've seen them play good football even this season. We've seen them play good football,
Absolutely.
and yet it's just kind of fallen apart.
I mean, I'm looking now at the kind of list of their five most recent managers, and obviously Vasco Seabra, then Gonzalo Garcia, obviously a kind
Yeah.
of a young pick from Spain, Daniel Souza again, who at the time I don't think was a well-known name, and you know, that was a kind of left field pick. And then before that, Daniel Ramos, Armando Evangelista. So they have had those more pragmatic managers. I think of Ramos, Evangelista, perhaps in that way. So it might not be too alien for them to go down that route again, but it does almost feel like perhaps an admission of defeat if they were, which would be a shame. But definitely, I think it would be a disaster for them to go down, considering the work that they've done in recent years. But they have by no means any like God-given right to stay in this league. So if they're going to stay in the league, then they really have to buck their ideas up. Just to end on a slight positive, of course, good result for Estrella. You know, the flip side to saying Arouca are unfortunate was saying perhaps Australia were a bit fortunate themselves. I mean, Kikish's goal was by far the worst cross I've seen this
Yeah.
season. Terrible cross, finds its way into the top corner, and they go from there. But I completely agree with you that They haven't looked, they don't look like the worst team in the league at all. And I know this is a team with a kind of less resources, smaller budget, but you know, they definitely have a lot going for them. They have a lot of interesting players, a lot of good players. And I'm pleased to see them win. And you know, they might not be aiming for the top four, top five, but I really think there's a kind of a good season to be had for Australia if they want it. And if Keegan's his top scorer at the end of the season, I will be the first to eat my words when it comes to him.
I mean, they are 13th at the moment, 14 points, 3 wins, 5 draws, 5 losses. Now, we've seen Australia really struggle in this league over the last few years. Even right now, as it stands, this is very good. 3 wins. We've still got 20 games to go, over 20 games to go. And I would say even right now, they'll be looking at it saying, you know what, we're doing pretty good. We can build on that. But they have to sort of keep their squad together, keep everyone fit. And keep doing what they're doing because it's working. It is working. They've got, I think it's Porto next. So hopefully they don't keep it together in that game. But from then onwards, Moreirense, Famalicão, also two, actually 3 tough games back to back. And then they've got Braga. Oh man, that's a tough run for Estrela. That's a
Yikes.
tough run. They needed these 3 points then really, because that is a very tough run for them. And it's a good indication of how quickly things can change because, that's, I just said 4 games. If there's a few results in there for some teams below them, they could suddenly find themselves, further down the table because that's just how it goes in this league.
Absolutely. But the attitude for them surely has to be to like stay focused, know that they're not going to win every game this
For
season. But
sure.
even a season where they get, you know, 30, 32, 33 points in a season, I think would be surely like a healthy season for a team like Australia. You know, they won't be going down with a points total like that. So yeah, it doesn't have to be spectacular, but I think if they can kind of build on the good work that they're doing, then they could be happy with what they do this season. All right, well, I think we will leave it there for this week. Another weekend in the best league in the world. Mad games, mad fixtures, mad results. But that's why we love it so much. We'll be back, of course, next week to discuss all the action from next week's Primeira Liga fixtures. But until then, it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.